is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. Boys, what's going on?
You know, a little of this, a little of that. Dell's dressed up for, apparently he has a an interview for a new job today.
Dell, where are you going to
interview? Dressed up.
It's not a dress up. I've just got a short sleeve collared shirt on and some jeans. That's all. That's not dressed up. That's
and a cane and top hat and gloves.
I don't have that. But look who we're talking about or who's offering this assessment. It's Lance. Lance comes in basketball shorts, and it's not even like the new basketball shorts that fit right. He's got these long-ass basketball shorts on.
Fit right? You mean short shorts now?
Oh,
John Stockton?
Right above the knee. Doesn't have to be John Stockton. That's mid-thigh.
Nut hugs?
No, I said right above the knee, not mid-thigh. But he got the long-ass basketball shorts on.
Because I ain't doing...
He's got a Gal Media gray t-shirt on.
Yeah, with the G fell off.
Let's just be clear about who's assessing fashion.
Right.
Lance. Odell, we do not need Lance with short shorts.
I didn't say short shorts. I'm just
saying.
That's
what you want.
Dell's trying to get me to wear short shorts.
He likes
the record
basketball
reflect.
Shorts, but they're the ill-fitting type. Hey, Lance, your shorts shouldn't go down your ankles.
No, they're not ill-fitting.
Stop wearing
they fit the way they're supposed to.
Stop wearing culottes.
Once we decided that we were going to wear the skirt shorts
every college basketball player decided.
When Nolan Richardson decided for us and Allen Iverson, then we're all on board,
really?
And we're not going back to the
things have switched.
Adams and
Lance Westbrook Parsons.
Yeah, I'm not going back.
Stop wearing culottes.
Yeah,
I'm
hey,
not going
your
back
shorts are a little long. But the whole point is
Stockton.
Do not take anybody's. Don't take Lance's assessment of how someone's dressed because he thinks.
I'm not assessing how he's dressed. I'm just telling you he's extraordinarily dressed up.
All
today.
I'm telling you, John, is Lance thinks if you wear a clean shirt, you're dressed up. That's all I'm saying.
It is a little bougie.
Clean shirts are bougie. John, you've seen what he looks like when he rolls in here. You know.
I know
you know why?
Because
I'm a man of the people.
I wear
a Fitbit. I wear regular clothes. I don't have to get dressed up all bougie with clean clothes and pressed shirts and Apple Watches.
Let's call it like it is. You've been rocking the homeless look since you've been back at the
station. Isn't a homeless look.
Yes, it
Me
is.
And Charlie Palillo do this.
No, even Charlie will iron something. You don't iron anything.
Sometime he'll wear a collared shirt with basketball shorts.
What I'm telling you is, Charlie will iron something. You don't iron anything.
I've ironed things before.
Not to wear here.
I don't need to here. No.
Yeah.
Well, for a sports map video, sometime I'll get real dressed up in a suit or whatever like Joel.
That's a lie. You never wear a suit.
You never do that.
Why? For what? For who? How Ricky
who?
Waters that?
Relax, Ricky.
Yeah.
How Ricky Waters that? For what? For who?
For what? For who?
Y'all still
for
clicking?
What?
For the brand.
Y'all still clicking?
For the videos.
I'm on brand.
I see you wear a collared shirt for NFL.com.
Yeah, they got different rules.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. See, just to be clear.
And a cowboy hat.
I even asked him, I said, can I, during, when it was like March, it was a little chilly, I said, can I just wear like a Adidas zip-up jacket? Does that count kind of as a collared shirt? Kind of? It's got a hoodie. No. It has to have a collar on it. Like, what are we playing, golf? Stupid. Golf would be so much more fun if you could just play in a t-shirt.
That's not true. It's a gentleman's game, okay?
Is it?
But it's the common man. It's about the common man.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep. Yeah, it's about the common man. One of golf's origins is when England was, you know, colonizing the entire world. They would spread, like, what was it, like jelly or jam on indigenous people from India and Pakistan, so the mosquitoes would bite them and leave the golfers alone. Yeah,
that's not a real story.
Yes, it is. They actually had jam boys.
It actually is.
Yeah. Golf is not for the common man.
Hello, jam come boy. Here, please. I'd like to put something on you.
I don't know your name.
No,
I don't know your name.
Did.
I'll call you jam boy.
That's what they were, jam boys.
Jam boy.
And, but
I
they,
understand
here's
you
the deal.
Like baseball jam
but
boy.
But here's the deal. This is where it gets to... Where people are just so wonderful, they let them keep the jam after the round.
As payment.
Yeah,
they
that was their payment.
They paid them in the used jam.
Yeah.
Wow. That were spread on them.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
A sport for the common man, golf.
What
golf.
An amazing people that is the origins of golf where you say, please get that Pakistani boy over there and let's slather him with some jam so the mosquitoes get him.
Right.
I don't know how this works where you're from, but where I'm from, there's plenty of mosquitoes to go around.
Yeah, well, guess what?
One person who covered with attack? Jam might not pull all the mosquitoes. But
I don't know.
We gotta
would
try
you
it
rather,
out.
If you're a mosquito, would you rather have Jam Boy or me? Jam Boy.
I'm going to put some on my children, one of my children, and I'm just going to give it a test. I'm just going to give
it
a test and see what happens.
I will say,
I'm not often attacked by mosquitoes. My daughter and my wife are mosquito magnets. Me, not as much.
Darker meat, that's why.
My kids, not as much. Is that what it is?
I really wish you would not keep referencing meat.
Is that what it is, John?
Yeah. You're white meat, but mosquitoes are like, whatever.
I don't want to
That's sweet meat. That's sweet meat over there.
The more tasty meat. I don't want to confirm what he's saying, but one of the reasons I stopped cutting my own grass was because of mosquitoes. I couldn't deal with them.
Are you sensing a pattern, John? Is your mind working?
One of the reasons I quit cutting my grass is because F that. there's a guy that comes, and he's cutting the grass across the street, and he could cut mine too.
That's certainly part of it. At some point, when I was like, I'm done cutting grass if I don't have to. Yeah. But one of the reasons was the mosquitoes destroyed the hell out of me. So I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Why am I cutting grass with Nutella rubbed all over my arms?
That's what it felt like.
That's dumb.
That's the grass
you know
cutting
what?
Thing.
You just have Raheel walk alongside you with jam all over him.
Oh, you don't think he got called Jam Boy? You missed that, Lance?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, you missed that part.
He got called Jam Boy.
Yeah. When was that?
That was
throughout
a while
the show.
Ago.
Whenever that particular subject came up, he got called Jam
Boy. Oh, is this in your documentary about the origins of soccer?
No.
The beautiful game. How do y'all know this?
I don't know how it came up. It just did. Maybe someone called and told us about it, but it became a thing, and Raheel became Jam Boy.
Have you guys done any research to make sure it's true, or do you just assume this is true?
Yeah, I looked it up. It's real.
It's true. Okay. I mean, it does. What? That doesn't sound like something that the English would do?
Well, it sounds like something the colonizers might have done, but it just sounds like it sounds so outrageous. Like, surely this can't be real that someone would let you slather them with jam.
Well, these are poor people who need anything, and I guess even use
jam.
So
their payment was the jam.
It's either that or don't eat.
Want to eat?
So they had a separate jar of jam. They don't have to scrape it off their bodies to put on toast.
They were using the used jam.
They get to keep the jam.
Keep the jam that's on their bodies?
Yes, that's what that was their payment.
To do this.
None of this can be true.
It's true.
Yes.
Have you seen some of Churchill's policies? You don't think this would be true? Now, this happened before he took power. To do this, the Jam Boy would cover himself in jam to attract the mosquitoes away from the players. When the game was over, the Jam Boy got to keep the jam he was wearing to take home to his family.
He was allowed to keep it instead of somebody scraping it off of him and putting it back in a jar?
Urban Dictionary. Dictionary gives the following
Why are we
definition.
Going to Urban Dictionary?
The Jam Boy was first introduced as early as the 1800s when the British Empire occupied India. When the British gentry went to play golf, they would have two men, the caddy and a Jam Boy. The Jam Boy's sole purpose was to keep mosquitoes away from the golfer.
Okay, I am going to have to do some more research on this because I don't feel like Urban Dictionary is something.
It's not the only source.
It's got to be a different one.
I'm just saying, it's in other places too. People are discussing
there
jam
are
boys
some,
and golf.
There are some interesting images here.
I don't know why you think colonizers wouldn't do this to people. They did other awful things to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that sounds about sounds about what the British would do. That sounds about right.
I can't find a good source. Jam
that
boys Wikipedia
here.
No information.
Well, you think. You think people who did this want that out there? Use your third eye, Lance.
I do see something like a 13-minute video on YouTube from 2016. I do see the adventures of Jam Boy is another one. I see Reddit asking questions.
It does. It's also worth noting that the Wikipedia article for Jam Boys was deleted as a hoax in 2009.
Oh.
I'm just looking. Other people are talking about it.
But that's
even the Guardian.
If blacks were ever,
But
I saw that with Reddit.
Yeah, but in India, it definitely happened. But
it says urban legend in this.
That wouldn't happen. That wouldn't
Africa, africasacountry.com said there's an urban legend.
Yeah. No. You can't see that? And they get the
But that's the problem is it comes from Urban Dictionary right now.
No.
I think the word using the word gentry makes it sound real. It's like, well, they do say gentry. Who ever uses the phrase gentry?
No one. Stop burying the lead. Granada gets to watch Arsenal football today. Is the EPL back?
Yeah, it's back.
It is back today.
Today?
Yes. Sports officially begins today.
He would say golf was a sport.
But I was watching Bundesliga yesterday. Do you know that Bayern Munich was a 2.5-goal favorite yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
It was like, yeah, that's so stupid.
Did they cover?
No, they didn't cover. Their goalie is unbelievable.
Yeah.
He stopped a shot that was just spectacular. And otherwise, it would have been tied at one. I don't know what the final was, but there wasn't much time left when they were up one. I was like, damn, give me 2.5 goals in any match.
Two and a half is pretty unusual. You'll see it sometimes. You'll see it from time to time.
Well, the Bundesliga is known for its goal scoring. It's one of the appeals. Like, well, people are trying to sell you about watching it when sports came back. The fandom is another one, and we can't get that. But open play is another appeal of that league.
Yeah, open play is a big deal. But you know what's funny? And Germany doesn't always, as a World Cup team, is not always as wide open. It's a more precision passing attack. But, you know, one thing that's pretty interesting to me is I was watching Bundesliga last week. I turned it on and was just watching one of the matches for a little bit. Didn't even realize that the sound effects in the game, I mean, I just kind of, it did, honestly, it did make it feel like there was some normalcy to it. I didn't realize that's what was going on because it just felt the shots are a little bit tighter and the stands, there's tarp covering kind of the stands, like a wrap that covered the stands in the background. And I can't remember which match this was, but they had fans chanting. I swear, I didn't think, oh, wait, these are fans. This is pumped in sound with fans chanting. It just escaped my mind for a little bit because, you know, that's what I'm used to hearing in the background. I do think after that experience that's not a bad idea to have that going, whether it's for, I would say maybe just for the broadcast, the TV broadcast, if you want to. But I think it was played, I don't know, Dale, was it played throughout the stadium? I would assume that's what they're doing. Or is it just somehow piped into the broadcast?
I have only heard those things were for the TV viewer. I think it might be a little disconcerting for the players who are on the field not to see anyone but hear sound.
Yeah.
Because I know initially it was none of that, and all you heard
was
players
talking. What about to create any kind of home field at all?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that plays out for the actual 22 on the field, but like I said, at first I just thought it was for people at home. We'll give you an environment so it doesn't feel so empty. I don't know if players would actually like that.
They might not.
Having an empty stadium but actually hear sound, it'd probably be a little weird.
I think it's just at home. It's just at home that you hear that. Yeah, because you can't give all kinds of cheers and then a dead silence when the other team has the ball, and that's especially going to. Now they're working on one in football that will actually be for the stadiums, but I don't know how that works because if you're on the opposing team or you're an opposing fan, you lose home field advantage if the other fan base is screaming, and you can hear it over the so. It'll be interesting to see what they do.
Well, right, one thing seems for certain, there is definitely no certainty that you'll have fans in the stands in the state of Texas right now, as Governor Abbott addressed the media yesterday about the spike in COVID cases and what that might mean. Dr. Fauci also had some comments about baseball. We'll get to when we come back. And basketball's, they've got a 100-page basically a 100-page guideline about the it's a 100-page plan for bringing the NBA back, and they went through that on ESPN, some of the more interesting things. We'll get to that today as well. Right now I want to tell you about my friends over at SiteJab, and they are friends. They are from Houston. They've been in the business for over 20 years building websites for people, and of course over 20 years so much has changed, just a tremendous amount. I've had websites built over the last 20 years, a couple different sites, and it's amazing the technology that is introduced every year, year and a half, and it seems like it's exponentially ramping up as time has passed. Like it's you, if you have a website that was done 5 years ago, man, you are way in the past because so many new features are available. And there are also features that are designed to get people's attention, keep their attention, and then convert them into leads for you. 80% of the people who are going to do business or considering doing business are going to check out your website. They want to know what you're about. There's a reason that people give out website addresses now, not phone numbers. And that's why. Let SiteJab update your website, and they can train you on how to update your site on your own once they get it upgraded for you. They can also build brand new sites for ESPN 97.5 listeners, and this custom-made website usually is going to take 3 to 6 weeks. All you have to do is call SiteJab at 713-999-4661. That's 713-999-4661. Or you know what? Go check them out for yourself on their own website at sitejab.com. They're providing over $500 in Google ads to every new website in the month of July. Just call for details if you're looking for a great website and to gain new business out of your website. I strongly recommend the professionals here in Houston at SiteJab. Go to sitejab, SiteJab.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Welcome. Big shot.
Hold up, where?
Peanut butter insets.
No.
Outside.
Coke.
White body looks like Jim.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, guys. So we got a baseball season, right? Yesterday, it's all done. They sat down. They worked it all out. We got us a baseball season, it's all set.
So, is that on Black Mirror? I didn't see anything.
You didn't see it?
No, they got it fixed?
Yeah, it's all fixed. Yeah. Apparently, no, the ESPN, they ignored that story just like they ignored the Yankee story or something. I don't know.
I didn't know they got it fixed.
Sure. Yeah, it's all fixed. You know, because they're such reasonable, both sides are so reasonable, and They'll do anything to get on the field as opposed to, you know, just keep demanding and greedy hoarders that they are. That's not what they're about. What they're about is getting on the field and performing and the love of baseball. Baseball comes first. Love of baseball comes first. So that's where they are.
I did find it interesting that every time, particularly from the MLBPA, they may had a response. It was like, this is what the owners are doing. They're acting in bad faith, so on and so forth. Oh, by the way, we love baseball. Tell us when and where.
Yeah.
Wouldn't the whole I love baseball thing be first if you love baseball so much? It's always let's toss in this line to make sure everyone knows that we still love baseball. But we will air our grievances first and then tell you we love baseball. Let's go. Let's play.
You know, I think what's interesting is I don't know. I remember we had Bam Morse on in studio one time, and he was talking about his drug addiction and some of the stuff that he went through. And he admitted to us, he said, look, I like football in college. He said, once I got to the pros, I was kind of over it. He said it was a means to an end. It made me money. And he said, I didn't really love football. And I remember that sticking with me. And then, you know, the more I've talked to players, usually older players who are out of the game, I remember Chris Paul made this comment, too, at a luncheon I was at. He said, it's disheartening to know how many players in sports, and of course, he was speaking to his sport, but I think it's probably, you know, there's probably something to a majority of of professional sports, and maybe the numbers fluctuate. But a lot of the guys just really don't love the sport like you would think. But the money's so good, why would you not? I mean, it wouldn't make any sense for you not to play, but they don't. Because so many of these players have played since they were 5 or 6. And it's been years and years and years and years. And a lot of times they just have been burned out on it. But the money's so good, you can't just leave. But it does have an impact, I think, ultimately. You want to have as few of those guys as possible. That's why I know football people always talk about you got to find guys who love the sport. football character. It becomes very important to them. Because if you love the sport, you'll put in the time in the weight room with nutrition, in film study. And if not, you're not going to if you don't really love it. But the paycheck is really good. And I think that's a concern. And that would, you know, and that includes baseball as well. How many of these guys, I do think they want to get their paycheck. And I think the NBA right now, players are acting, I think NBA is acting in a very pragmatic way. They're saying, look, we're not going to discuss, we're getting this season in. There are certain triggers. We don't want an opt-out clause being triggered for a new CBA. There's TV money to be earned. This is a financial decision. I think more than anything, basketball realized this is a very important financial decision, not just for this year, but more importantly, for next year for them. And they are going to do what it takes, I think. But baseball, John, you talk about baseball. You know, basketball, it's easy. They just have playoff teams and they have, you know, another eight games, and it doesn't even include every team in the league. Baseball, they can't figure out the money. And then Dr. Fauci came out yesterday. He was interviewed by, I think it was New York Times interviewed him. And I'll read the quote to you. And Dr. Fauci just said, hey, look, that's all, you know, having baseball play is all great and all. But here, his quote is, if the question is time, I would try to keep the season in the core summer months and end it not with the way we play the World Series until the end of October when it's cold. I would avoid that. He said, the virus is one that keeps fooling us under most circumstances, but we don't know for sure here. Viruses do better when the weather starts to get colder and people start spending more time inside as opposed to outside. The community has a greater chance of getting infected. The likelihood is that if you stick to the core summer months, you're better off, even though there is no guarantee. And he went on a little bit more about, you know, the overlap with influenza and things like that. So I don't know if what Dr. Fauci is saying would have any impact on baseball. I know this, if what he's saying is you should tighten up the schedule, not see how long you can go with it, doesn't that have an impact for football as well? If we're talking just baseball, why are we not talking about, isn't he referencing the NFL and college football too?
Well, and the NFL and college football are both saying yesterday we need to delay the season. We need to push it back. And yeah. Fauci would argue, no, you need to play now.
Yeah, Fauci, epidemiologists believe that you should bring forward, as early as possible anything
unless,
you're going to try to do.
Unless you're planning on no fans again. You know, unless that's
You still have players who are – you still have players you have to worry about. I think regardless of fans, I think the concern for Fauci is that baseball, when it's played in colder weather, and we know football will be played in colder weather, you're just going to spend more time indoors, indoor practice facility, indoor this, indoor that. I don't know. I still just can't get completely on board that football is going to be okay, pro and college, and they have to. I mean, from an economic standpoint, especially for colleges, they have to get that money in. I
can't believe that we're not going to have a solution to this by September.
Well, they start phase three. Phase three begins in September. They just can't. They're already pushed it ahead by 2 months. They're not going to be able to push it ahead much more. So phase three of the testing of a vaccine begins in September. I think they said that's a 2 month. September, October, then they have to go the final phase because they have to make sure that not only is it effective, but that it's not going to cause long-term damages. And even then, they said it may only be 70% successful, or it may only prevent you know, from death or being really, really sick, which is a win to me. And yeah. The doctors even said we would take that. We would absolutely take that right now while we're working on something else.
Would you be one of the first in line?
Yeah.
You would be.
Fire away. Yes.
Yeah.
If they have something that makes it through four phases of testing, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Remember in England, did you see that girl? Her name was Granado. She was one of the first in line. That's how heroic we are.
What are you talking about?
There is a picture of a girl, I forget her first name, because her last name just stuck out.
Did she smother jam all over someone during a golf match?
No. What she did was.
Is that the kind of hero you are?
No, what she did was she was first in line to get an experimental vaccine We're willing to risk our lives for the human race. And
she is Dr. Elisa Granado.
Thank you.
Yes.
Another smart Granado.
and Snopes had to fact check because there was a report that she died right after she took the trial. She's alive. She's actually alive.
Oh, I was like, what? Bad story, John.
Yeah, and in fact, on her Twitter, I guess maybe she got the story too. Dr. Elisa Granado, 100% alive. So she is not dead.
Good for her. Yeah. See that? Being heroes and living through it, as opposed to you who broke your leg trying to step over a curb. That's what the Zerlines do. Okay?
Is nice that what job. You guys do?
Yeah.
No, that's not what, as a people.
As a Lance, that's what people do.
I sent that logo. I tweeted it out. For some reason, got over 100 likes. And Senior Bowl's like, this is great. No, it's not great, Senior Bowl account.
Mm-hmm.
And needless to say, some of my football friends who know about the purse snatching incident, it's what we're calling it.
Okay.
They enjoyed that logo of me tripping on a curb. The guy who did that, they said, well, this has now been saved.
All right. I got to give John Clay Wolf a call. It's the John Clay Wolf Hour here on ESPN. He's ready. Let's get him in here. John Clay Wolf, what's going on? What's he doing? What do you think John Clay Wolf is
banging doing around the telephone?
Yeah.
You there?
Yeah.
Well, I told the guy to hang on just a second.
I hung on for 40 seconds, and then John was like, hey, where's John Clay? And I had to put you on.
Oh.
What's going on? We won't be pushy like this. We won't push you around and like make you feel like they're trying to lead you around by your nose.
But I thought you were going to say something else. But all right, so it sounds like you're in the bathroom. Am I going
to
guess that?
Yeah, I walked into my wife's sick, and I told him, hold on just a second. So I was walking into my closet so I didn't wake up my whole way.
Oh, she got the Rona?
Okay. I needed to get going. Today's, we've got our auction day. We've got 625 cars at Dallas, which is the largest. We've been selling 530 a week, but today's like 623, I think, is what we've got. And then next week we might have 700. So it's, I told you this Corona thing has been weird, dude. I mean, it's, business is growing. It's odd.
Well, no kidding. I mean, yeah, it's just huge right now. So, and it's a great time to sell your car, everybody. This is a great, and oh, by the way, you know why too? Maybe why is because 0%, no interest for 84 months right now going on. Everybody wants to get into that deal, no?
Well, what's happened is the new cars have shortened up. So they quit making them in March. Remember the UAW closed mm-hmm. everything down, and then now that's showing up. So the new cars are low supply big time, and they did those incentives. So it drove up the prices of used cars, and the reason that we have so many right now is because we're paying so much. You know, when people are thinking that we'll offer them $8,000 and they go to give me the VIN and the computer gives them $9,000, they're like, okay. Or they're thinking $25,000 and we're like, we'll give $28,000. They're like, okay. So that's why we're buying so many more cars. Every week you talk to me lately, I'm like, well, we have an extra 100, you know, this week. We're buying so much because the price is going up. We're paying so much for them. That's just the bottom line. And it's because new car supply is short.
Well, if you want to sell your car, one place to go. The only place. The best place. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. Have a good auction.
ESPN. 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Brian Zygo put this out. Entire Oklahoma State team to boycott season after Mike Gundy seen an NCAA shirt. Now they're going to put a T-shirt of everything on Mike Gundy.
Oh, no.
So that the Oklahoma State team can cancel it. Everybody put a T-shirt on Gundy, and we'll cancel everything.
What if we put a Yankee shirt, a Rob Manfred shirt on him, holding his arms up victoriously? Are you going to cancel him?
Yeah, I'm going to cancel him if he's got a Rob Manfred. Did you see? I changed my avatar on Twitter. Yep, I changed it to Rob Manfred Pinocchio nose. Now I got to get the T-shirts made. So, Dell, do you have Mike Gundy's hostage video?
Yeah, I have
the new one.
Yeah, the one where he acknowledges how bad OAN is and so on and so forth. And yeah, I have that.
It could not be more okay. More hostage. Thinks their life is threatened more, Cal or Mike Gundy?
Lance, go ahead.
I'm not comfortable with John's question.
Yeah.
Thinks their life is threatened more, it doesn't feel accurate to the situation.
Oh, are you kidding? If you're a hostage, guess what?
Now, if you just want to say more hostage video-y, Gundy's was up there, but at the end, Cal said knowledge is power. So I'm going to go Cal.
Well, let's see if Gundy had any gems
in
there.
All right.
I had a great meeting with our team today. Our players expressed their feelings as individuals and as team members. They helped me see through their eyes how the T-shirt affected their hearts. Once I learned how that network felt about Black Lives Matter.
Pause it.
When
you read like this, where you know that it is taking time to get from your eyes and run through the synapses of your brain into the spoken word, you know that it is coming from the heart.
Once I learned of
videos that were coming up on that would automatically pop up on my website browser and play about Black Lives, I knew there was going to be some trouble, and it was bad. I don't know. Cal's got a lot of...
Cal's so monotone.
What was that?
Cal's so monotone?
No. Dell just played...
Oh, he did not. Don't play that anymore. Do not play that anymore.
I want to ask you something. I know a LSU fan has been out longer. To this day, doesn't it titillate? Doesn't it make you giggle? Like
an LSU fan came stuck his flag in my booty.
Like to this day.
I don't know. I laugh more at knowledge is power.
That's the exact of comedy right there. Well, what I'm saying is, an LSU fan is over 2 years old, and it still has. It's just not brand new like knowledge is power. Knowledge is power, right?
LSU fan came stuck his flag in my booty.
That's still so good.
Mm-mm.
It's still so good. And the whole video is good of that one. Cal's video just picks up steam at the end.
Knowledge is power.
Stop playing that.
John has literally laughed 100% of the time that's been played.
Stop playing that.
All right, let's get back to more of a...
All right, more Gundy.
Here's more of today's hostage video.
Disgusted and knew it was completely unacceptable to me. I want to apologize to all members of our team, former players, and their families for the pain and discomfort that has been caused over the last 2 days.
And all recruits.
Black lives matter to me. Our players matter to me. These meetings with our team have been eye-opening and will result in positive changes for Oklahoma State football. I sincerely hope the Oklahoma State family, near and far, will accept my humble apology as we move forward.
That was heartfelt.
Is there anything else he added?
No, that was it.
That was heartfelt.
Changes will be made.
Yeah, no, I could hear it from the heart. It sounded like he came right off the cuff.
No, there was none of that was right.
Guys, just turn the video on. I got something important to say, and I want it to come directly from the heart.
Are we going to talk about the juxtaposition between his facial hair color and his actual hair color? Have you, like, he's got the gray, the full gray on.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It,
so I have seen, so you
no,
can,
but that's,
there can be differences. Like, yeah. You can get grayer or sometimes redder beards than your hair color. I have seen that. It does happen. However, I think that one might just be,
No, I don't think he's coloring his hair. He doesn't look like he colors his hair.
You don't think so?
No, I think he's, beards go gray long before hair does.
It can. For some people, yeah. It can.
He looks like a professional wrestler who's past his prime.
Okay.
You going to say that's inaccurate, John?
No.
Okay.
No. I got
that. He's got a very Hogan in NWA look to him. Like
he's in good shape. Gundy keeps himself.
Well, I'm
in good
not talking
shape,
about physical. Yeah. I'm just talking about that face, yeah. The whole face and hair thing. He looks like almost very much like when Hogan had the that finely tuned facial hair, and then he. Mm-hmm. I'm getting the whole Four Horsemen vibe from Gundy. Like he fit right in as a professional wrestler who probably has a couple years left, but still gets a big pop from the crowd. So they keep rolling him out there. I feel, and it's just a bad look for Gundy overall in terms of. Looking at him, reading that from the teleprompter, I'm like, I don't believe a word you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
What if he had a mic in his hand and somebody was standing next to him doing the interview, like a Gene Okerlund type, who like, and he grabbed the mic away from him and, let me just say this. I believe that the network I was watching was hurtful. But that doesn't change the fact that at Arco Arena and in Memphis, Tennessee.
On June 19th.
On September 27th. The Texas Longhorns are going to taste their own blood. Like, I would have felt more if he had gone full wrestler afterwards or even before. But let me stop now for a second, Gene, and talk about something that's near and dear to my heart. Let me get the card. Bring the cards. Put them up.
What's
up.
That say?
Raise them up.
Black
the
lives.
Network I was watching is a I realize it is a hurtful network. But let me say this one second to Texas Tech. Okay? You think you're the king and we're the sorry people. Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma. And that ain't true. We cranked out quarterbacks, too. Y'all brag like you got Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray, who I like a lot. I just want to put that out there. Just to be clear.
And I like Jalen, too.
I wish, and Jalen, too. Winners and good people. And I want recruits to see this. Good people and their...
And Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter. But also... We've got our own, okay? A long history. Mason Randolph, who is playing somewhere. The guy with the red hair that golfs. He's somewhere. He's 40, I think. He's a man. He's 40. He played here just 4 years ago and was a first-round pick. All right? We got a lot of top-rated quarterbacks, too. But back to this other thing. I'm sorry that I forwarded multiple articles and videos to most of my staff and players. Mm-hmm. I know I hit the forward button on most of the things I got off of that website. I recognize that many of you put me to spam. And I just hope that you'll open your hearts and your email accounts now to receive my blessings and also my emails. Thank you.
And I can't be all that bad. I got Spencer Sanders playing quarterback for me right now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Although,
Ever see him?
Don't let Spencer fool you, the name.
Look, I know you remember Zach Robinson, that little fella running around making plays, but it's Spencer Sanders. That's my guy now.
That's my guy. Google him.
Who was it? And who was it I was yelling about being 40? Bobby Reed. Reed. I love Black Lives way back when I was 40.
When I was 40, and Bobby Reed was my quarterback. I think that whole thing was that I didn't have his back, actually, and then
some lady tried to call me on it, and, well, the rest is history. I'm a meme.
And let's be clear. There's one thing we should all take from this.
Oh, I'd give a rat's ass about Twitter.
Unless one of my players is on it.
And then I completely understand why Twitter's important.
Wait, isn't Mason Rudolph a racist? No, Mason Rudolph is not a racist, okay? He does not watch OAN. All right, let me ask you this question.
You didn't even comment when I said, of course, you let me just roll as when I called him Mason Randolph.
Mason Rudolph. Let me ask you this question. Will Gundy secretly watch in his room late at night OAN?
Secretly, who's going to be in his room? He can just watch it openly.
If he ever gets divorced, his wife will say, "Oh, he still watches OAN." And
He'll have to be on an iPad in the bathroom.
Yeah, like you watching your movies.
I'm on 000 now, which is fantastic. You got to watch that. And then, although I got interrupted yesterday, I'm trying to watch that and. I've been doing stuff around the house. I can't believe I'm doing stuff around the house guy right now.
Doing stuff like
cutting things off of a Seiko palm. I got to clean the furniture out of my patio. Got to take I don't know what all I got to do. Just stuff that I don't usually do.
Sounds miserable.
Can't you just like say, "I'm sorry, I have to go just go play poker and say I have to watch tape."
Yeah, today is going to be a tape day for sure, 100%.
Cleaning outdoor furniture.
Yeah, that
Good
was
Lord,
terrible.
Man, what happened to your life?
Well, I have a pressure washer that doesn't work that great. It was like a Home Depot thing.
It's like a hose, you mean? That's not a pressure washer.
No, this is an actual pressure washer that'll take your skin off your foot. But so I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to scrub these patio front. My kids have made, because we've been, the kids say, "Can we go outside eat?" Yep, because there are no rules during this anymore. We don't have any rules. Play on your computers, do whatever, just get out of my face. Yeah, go outside, play on the furniture. Yeah, go outside and watch TV while you eat on patio furniture. My wife would have never allowed that in a bazillion years on March 4th, but on like a June 4th, the rules are all changed. So what do you think my patio furniture looks like, my seats look like for my kids eating out there all the time?
Wonderful.
Horrific. Wonderful.
What do you think testosterone looks like?
Well, it looks great. I don't know that it has a visual. I mean, I have seen it, actually. I have seen before I get my treatment. I tend not to look at it too much. I'm a guy that, you know, I say I'm afraid of needles because you get a shot. But it's literally nothing. And I'm somebody who has been terrified my whole life. And I'm like, man. But then the results are so good, I said, well, I'm fade this. And I'm going in every single week. And it really isn't even an issue. If you're afraid of needles like I am, not an issue at all. And they also go that extra mile where they check up on you every single time that you go into Men's T Clinic. They want to ask you, are you seeing any side effects? Are you having this? This, they check your weight. They want to make sure that there's no, you know, that nothing is going on that shouldn't be going on. They look out for you. But the second thing is they also, they will check up on you every quarter to see where your numbers are, different types of numbers that can be, you know, indicative of something wrong. And it's just that little extra peace of mind that it makes me feel so good about Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is great at what they do. They're the ones who have to correct the issues or actually get results for companies out there who don't know what they're doing or who don't do it effectively. Men's T Clinic Men's T Clinic is the cleanup man, if you will. And when you go into Cypress, Spring, Pearland, Pasadena, or the Heights locations, you're going to get tested quickly. You will get results very, very quickly, and you can get on the road to being the real you with increased libido, increased energy, better lean muscle mass. These are all medical truths that this is going to happen for people who are using testosterone to get back to normal levels. MensTClinic.com. That's MensTClinic.com. Find one of the five locations near you.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Daryl Morey was on First Things First, a show I've never seen. And he was asked about the pressure of trying to win an NBA title. And he said, and Daryl said, we've seen real pressure in the world right now, and thankfully some material changes are being made. Basketball pressure-wise, it's a lot. Two of the greatest players ever on our team. We should win this thing. I don't know. I don't know about that statement. I mean, they're the sixth seed in the West right now. They are playing smart. They were really on a bad roll when the season was stopped. They really don't. They can't compete with size. And just because you have two, you know what? And again, it's not easy. It's certainly not easy. But we've seen general managers put together better supporting casts. This is not a good enough supporting cast. Maybe they are two of the best players, although you could – I don't know if that Russell Westbrook – if you're going to put Russell Westbrook up there in his short time here as one of the best Rockets ever, I'm not buying that. I mean, certainly not a top five. Is that a good tactic that Daryl's taken, that we should win this thing?
So this is our sports map video that we cut yesterday. And I felt like my thought on this was, I thought it was, here's a little, I don't want to call it a conspiracy theory, but on first blush you say, wow, Daryl, that's putting a lot of pressure on the team. And you know, to say that we should win this thing seems kind of crazy. But then I thought about it more, and I thought, what if Daryl, who tends to play chess instead of checkers, is doing this intentionally, saying, hey, look, my job is to put the team in place. I'm going to go with what was considered the old Rick Smith strategy of you sit by the owner and you say, hey, these guys are good enough. We're just not getting the coaching, right? That was one of the things that I know the coaching staff believe was happening with Rick and Bob McNair, to put it on that instead of the personnel. What if Daryl Morey is saying, hey, we should win this thing. We got two of the best players, to where he's basically saying, okay, James, this is on you. Okay, Russ, this is on you. You guys are the big money guys. I'm not taking lumps for this one. You guys are good enough. You should win this thing. Because it doesn't feel like something I would say publicly. Usually you see people try to tamp down expectations, but Daryl went the other way with it.
Yeah. Well, and maybe that's how you just say, well, Mike, at the end of the season, they don't get there. Mike D'Antoni, you're gone. We were good enough. How many people will you find that would say, yeah, the Rockets really should win this thing? I mean, honestly, with an objective mind, that you would say, and obviously Daryl can't be objective. He's not objective. But I think he's putting a little bit too much pressure on himself, too. If he's telling Tillman, no, we should win this thing. Well, why aren't we winning this thing? Then why aren't we winning this thing? That would be my – if I'm Tillman, you said we should win this thing. Why are we so – well, Mike, then you're going to have to throw D'Antoni under the bus. Right? If they don't win, then D'Antoni's got to go. Then this is on D'Antoni because, hey, I believe this team is good enough to win it all.
Yeah, maybe it just – but
– But who else would say that besides Daryl Morey? Honestly, have you heard any pundit, have you heard anyone say, man, yeah, that Rockets team – They really should be winning this thing this year.
Have you ever heard any of them say that about any GM say that about their own team? Because feels like they're putting themselves in the line of fire.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
on first blush, that's what it feels like.
Well, and then just last week he said, last week or the week before, whatever it was. And in fact, most days I wake up saying I've let him down because I haven't gotten him the right players to win a title. Well, you're going to be saying that again this year. This Rockets team is not a championship team. It's just not. It's just not. It's not composed of. It's not a championship team. If they win it all, God, what a what a What a tremendous job. What a tremendous job by D'Antoni. What a tremendous job by James, by the Russell Westbrook edition. What a tremendous job by Daryl going small ball, trading away, not playing anyone over 6'1". It's unbelievable. It'll be unbelievable if they win this thing, but that's just too unbelievable for me to believe.
Yeah, I don't see what changed. The small ball, the basketball issues are still the basketball issues.
Yeah.
Being in great shape, being rested, having this. Yeah, but you're still a team full of 6'5" guys. How's that changed?
And a team that your players have never been able to step up and get over the top and nut up in the toughest times. Mm-hmm. And that unless that changes, there is no reason to believe. And oh, by the way, I don't know. With my human eyes, I see the Bucks, I see the Clippers, I see the Lakers. They're better teams. They're just better. I mean, I think they could handle most everybody else. Toronto might, Boston might. That would be a tough. Those would be tough series, certainly. And Utah and Denver are going to be tough, tough series. But is there any way that they beat the Clippers or the Lakers or the Bucks in a 7-game series?
I just can't see it. I'm working off of the previous games. I just don't see a scenario unless they get red hot from three. And I just think that's the least likely scenario based on the amount of time that's been missed.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand. I know he's playing chess. He's way smarter than all of us. But I don't know that this is the smartest. I don't know. Hey, I like our team. I like our chances. You know, we're going to go out there. We're doing something different. Bah, 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 bah. But we should win this thing? I don't know. I think that's giving your owner some false. And your owner... your owner likes to win now. That dude likes to win. And he don't want to finish second. He don't want to finish last year. You didn't even get to the conference finals. I mean, that don't play with him.
No.
But he's squarely behind. I know this. He does think Daryl is the guy. Owners love Daryl now. Les loved Daryl. And Tillman loved that. I think they love the approach, let's do it the smartest possible and use all the information we possibly can. I like a smart guy as our, but, you know, at some point, the no draft pick thing ever, I don't know that it's not catching up with this team. It's an older team. And here again, if you don't win again this year, you're a year older now. You know, you're wasting – these are James's prime years. And Russ is on the backside of a career too. And you better, you know, that you got to put some stuff around him that's going to – I love try-hard guys like P.J. Tucker and, you know, all of the guys and Eric Gordon and everything else, but you're just not talented enough. They're just not talented enough. 757 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.